Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. Broadcasting.
Good evening and welcome. We're back. We're back here live with you on the Private Officer Radio Network, WPOI. I'm your host, Rick McCann. Glad to be back with you. I say that like we've been here hanging around for the last week or two, just kind of waiting for you to come back. We're back on the air. We're glad to be here with you. It's been a hellacious day. A lot going on in the news. We're going to bring some of that to you here shortly. A lot of information, as always, you know, to share with you. It's been a long, long weekend. I know some of you were on vacation. Some of you, you know, were at the beach enjoying the lovely weather, the cool breezes. Some of you were in the mountains. I'm not going to begrudge you of your vacation time, but others of us, well, we were working here at the end of the month and almost the end of summer. Well, it is really actually the end of summer for many kids who start back to school next week. Unbelievable. Can you? I just can't imagine getting back there in the schoolhouse in these sweltering temperatures. It seems awful early to me. I don't know. Did we go back to school this soon? I don't think so. I thought it was after Labor Day, and well, maybe not, but I know that one school system in my area went back to school this week. And for them, I really feel sorry because we have been in the high 90s and sweltering heat, humidity, and we've had a lot of problems with rain and storms as well for almost a month. But, well, you know, I guess for some people they like it because, you know, they get out of school early. They get out in beginning of May, mid-May. So I guess it all, you know, equals out one way or the other. Our guest tonight on the show is going to be Rob Sherwood. He is from a brand new website that is out there looking to identify wanted persons. Rob founded a new website called IDThisPerson.com, a very interesting website. It kind of reminds me a lot of those post office photos that we used to see up in the old days. I don't think they do those anymore, but this is kind of an internet take on that, and it posts wanted pictures of persons across the country. We'll be talking to him coming up shortly. We'll ask him about how he got the idea, how they got started, where the data comes from, and you know, a whole bunch of other stuff coming up in just a few moments. But like I said, there is a lot of hard breaking news tonight to tell you about, a lot of things happening, and in fact I could fill my whole show up with breaking news, just a lot of stuff to, I guess, you know, it's that time of year, summertime, a lot of things happen, like we've said many times before, the weekend, you know, just one thing after the other. We want to talk a little bit also coming up shortly about a new, I don't want to say concept or idea, I guess a new thought that is being talked about in the law enforcement and the legislative areas of several states. And this is a question that I want you to ponder for the next couple of weeks or so. We'll talk about it again in a couple of weeks, and I hope to have the representative who has really been talking about this for the last month or two that I'm aware of. I hope to have him on the show. But should private security agencies be accredited like law enforcement officers? Should private security agencies be accredited like a law enforcement agency? Now, you might ask, well, we already are. You might say, we already are. You might ask, why do we need to do all that? We're already licensed. We're already registered. Or in some states, we are certified. But really, that is not the same as an accreditation, because an accreditation is a long process, usually takes 18 to 24 months, and the high end, 36 months, for a police department or law enforcement agency to be accredited. Same thing with a college. Trust me, I know we've gone through this here recently. It's a long process. They look through all the cracks and corners and all the paperwork, and they want to make sure that you have procedures and policies and handbooks and everything else in place, and that you are good at record keeping and that you have your training up to snuff and everything else. And it's much, much different than being licensed by a state security license agency. And so there is at least one state representative talking about introducing a new law in his state that would mandate that security agencies, companies, and proprietary departments be accredited and go through an accreditation period for 1 or 2 years, whatever it might be, and then have to be re-accredited. Very interesting proposal. Very interesting comments that I've heard from this particular state representative. And like I said, we hope to have him on there. But I want you to ponder that, if you will. All right, well, it is Monday, which usually means a very busy news day because of everything that's happened over the last 72 hours. A desk full of security and public safety news is what I have every day, but especially Monday and Tuesday, very heavy news days. As stated before, much of it is not good news. Some of it is surprising, sad, and occasionally, we might get a little something exciting that comes across the desk, but I do like the news because I like to know what's happening out there in our industry, but there is, unfortunately, not a lot of good news to share with you today, but I do want to give you a couple of headliners that we've sent out in the last 72 hours. Recently, just in the last hour or so, in fact, off-duty security officer outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in Fulton County, was having dinner with an off-duty law enforcement officer at a Waffle House just before going on duty. At around 2 a.m. Monday, that would be Sunday night, last night, this morning. And all of a sudden, a suspect walked in with a handgun and tried to rob the Waffle House. And the off-duty security officer intervened and wound up shooting the bad guy. The bad guy will live and face trial. The security officer was not injured, so kudos, great job. I'm not sure why the law enforcement officer wasn't involved in that situation. Maybe they didn't have their gun on them. I'm not sure, but the security officer definitely took charge, and so if we can find out who he was, we'll definitely present him with an award. Coming out of Memphis, Tennessee, also in the overnight hours, a Memphis security officer on duty working in the downtown Memphis Beale Street area, which is the entertainment district of Memphis, stabbed a male during a confrontation and argument, then threw the knife into a drainage ditch and walked away. According to police, Patrice Jones eventually turned herself in and has been charged with attempted murder. There is no word right now as to what started the confrontation or why she took it that far. Again, very unusual situation, definitely unreasonable force, and we're going to see a number of these incidents that happened over the weekend that's going to unfortunately be classified as unreasonable deadly force. But Ms. Jones is incarcerated at this time on attempted murder charges. Haywood, California, a Home Depot loss prevention agent stopped a shoplifter. This happened on Sunday afternoon, I guess. And he and another loss prevention agent stopped the shoplifter after he exited the store. Confrontation ensued. The loss prevention agent was shot. The second loss prevention agent was pistol whipped. What I want to know is, where was management? Where were the other employees? Where was, you know, the officer's backup? We have said for some time now that we spent more than 8 years in loss prevention. We caught hundreds, thousands of shoplifters. It wasn't quite this dangerous back then, but things have escalated over the years. And being a loss prevention agent is very dangerous because every time that you make a stop, every time that you go out after a shoplifter, you're making an arrest. You don't know who you're stopping. You don't know if they're wanted, and many times they are, by the way. You don't know if they're armed. The loss prevention agents, 99.9% of the time, are not armed, have no weapons whatsoever. Some retailers do allow security to carry handcuffs, big deal, but they're unarmed. In Garland, Texas, a off-duty police officer working as security for Walmart, and here's one of those incidents I was just speaking of, shot and killed a shoplifting suspect Sunday afternoon after police said that he fired the taser at the man as he was fleeing the store. The man then became combative. The officer, fearing for his life, shot him when the man then picked up a crowbar. I don't know where the crowbar came from. Don't know. The 19-year veteran of the Garland Police Department said that he issued a verbal warning, and when the man continued to approach him, he was shot. The 19-year veteran is on restrictive duty. The shoplifting suspect has died. Also this weekend, and this is one of those situations that was unreasonable force. I can clearly say that without getting into any kind of, you know, shouting match or speculation. Anderson, South Carolina, this is near the Georgia line, right off Interstate 85, a security officer from a contract service, not that that matters, was working at a nightclub because there had been some prior fights, previous incidents. Evidently, there was a fight out in the parking lot of some type. Security was getting folks to leave. A security officer saw a vehicle coming toward him and felt threatened. Felt threatened. Didn't say the vehicle was speeding toward him. The vehicle wasn't barreling down on him. The vehicle was not, had not been involved in any type of prior confrontation with security. But this security officer felt threatened and opened fire several times, striking a passenger and a 21-year-old female driver. The driver was shot in the torso area, and the passenger was shot in the arm. Now, I said, when I heard this and when I looked at the press release that we got from the sheriff's office late yesterday, I told my partners and a couple of you that, you know, if a vehicle is barreling down on you and you're standing in front of it and shoot, that bullet is not going to land in the torso. It's going to land in the head, the shoulders, the upper chest cavity, possibly. You would have to be standing at an angle more toward the side of the vehicle for that bullet to enter into the torso. And today, just a short time ago, the coroner's office, after completing an autopsy, has ruled this a homicide because the person was shot from the rear, behind. The bullet entered her back, traveled through the front of her torso. I got bad news for that security officer and that security company and that nightclub. If a vehicle is proceeding in front of you and you're standing behind it, you are not in imminent danger unless the vehicle is backing up, which was not the case. We are staying on top of this, and we will bring you more news on this particular case. Very important that we understand that we're not law enforcement. I understand that, you know, sometimes police, it seems like they get, you know, involved in a lot of shootings and get away with it. But, you know, grand juries look at the information. Investigators look at the information. The district attorney's office looks at the information, and they decide whether or not deadly force was warranted. Sometimes law enforcement can get away from it, you know, get away with certain things, or certain cases are overlooked or not prosecuted because they are law enforcement. And a person has a legal obligation to comply with the law enforcement officer. They don't have a legal obligation most of the time to comply with the security officer. And I know South Carolina and 26 other states, security officers have some law enforcement authority, but, you know, generally speaking, security officers and law enforcement officers are still on a little bit different playing field, a little different level, and we really need to tone our use of force down in some of these cases. We see them all the time where people are being shot through the vehicle, and, you know, there's been six or seven people sentenced to prison this year. Six or seven security officers sentenced to prison just this year, so you're forewarned. Also coming out of Florida, this was Orlando, five people running a security training company have been arrested for falsifying information on a license. Evidently, they charged for the armed course, the armed security training, but the people only took the unarmed portion or a few hours of it, and then were given their certificates. The Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, which is the state law enforcement investigation unit, says at least 350 people are out there with fake licenses. Many people will be arrested. So far, Gertrude Brunn, she was the owner of Access Patrol Security and Brunn Protective Security Training School in Orange County. She's been arrested. Michael Brunn, her son, also arrested for forgery. Lucy Blaze of Kissimmee, also an employee, has been arrested for operating an organized scheme. Louis Benila Jr. of Miami is a licensed armed security instructor, also arrested. And Nicholson Gerfred, who is a police officer at the Florida International University and a trainer, security, armed security trainer, also arrested in this scheme, and many others to be charged according to a recent press release. Now, they're not the only ones. Security companies and trainers have been arrested in Texas, also in Illinois, in Tennessee, you know. I really have to wonder, you know, these people have these licenses to operate. I just have to wonder what type of people these are. I have to really wonder about their ethics, don't you? Take a break. We'll be right back.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
All right, we are back with you live on the Private Officer Radio Network. Glad that you are with us here. We have a lot to talk about, and Anthony just emailed and said, it seems like I'm always talking bad about security. No, I'm not. No, we are an organization that uplifts private security. But one of the aspects of our company is a news department, a news feature. And just like any other news department of any radio, TV, or newspaper, we report the news. We don't make the news. We report the news. Just like law enforcement, we don't make the law. We enforce the law. And so, unfortunately, we do have to bring the good, the bad, the ugly. We have to, you know, we have to tell you all of it. It wouldn't be fair if we just gave you the good stuff. So just want to clarify that up for you. All right, we have a new feature. Those of you who get our daily newsletters, our daily news alerts, we're combining that with a daily newsletter option. So instead of getting all of these individual emails every time there's breaking news, now you will be able to just get one daily recap in the daily newsletter option, and there'll be an email sent out tomorrow allowing you to opt in just for that one option, or to get both the breaking news alert and the daily news recap. It'll be completely up to you. But I know sometimes when it's real busy, like on a Monday or Tuesday especially, you know, sometimes you can get three or four or five loaded up in the email box, and sometimes I guess it'll be a little bit too much. As always, while we're on the air, you can email us at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com, and of course, be you can be in your emails. You can be honest. You can submit news, training events, happenings in your area. You can ask questions, just like Anthony just did. And also, you can follow us 24/7. We have a large footprint, and on the internet, that is. No, I'm not saying I've got big feet. I'm just saying we have a big footprint on the internet. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, our own forums, our own breaking news blog, and you can do it all right from our primary website, www.privateofficer.com. And also, you can at any time contact us simply by sending an email to helpdesk@privateofficer. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We told you last week we've got a brand new feature that we're very excited about. This is the National Help Wanted Ads, connecting employers with job seekers and putting America back to work. More than 450,000 people view our blogs, websites, and social media every month. In fact, I think it's more than that. That was the last count. And right now we're offering buy one, get one free. You can place your ad and get another month completely free. Check it out today at privateofficer.com. If you are looking for loss prevention, security, hotel security, campus, school security, private investigators, alarm, whatever, you know, position you have open almost, you know, there are some positions we're not going to help you with. You're advertising for, you know, streetwalker, drug dealer, you know, no, we're not going to help you. But if you're looking for somebody in public safety, security, law enforcement, check our website out. We have the brand new National Help Wanted ads. If you are looking for a job, you can also sign up there to be immediately, automatically notified whenever there's a job available in your area. So that's a pretty cool deal. There's no cost for that service, and I think it's a pretty cool thing. We have a ton of stuff happening, but one of the most important things that I can tell you about is the 2013 Private Officer Memorial Week. It happens annually on the third week of September. This year it's 15th through the 21st, September 15th through the 21st. And we are, again this year, sponsoring some memorial services, not as many as I originally had hoped because we have so much going on. We're just not able to concentrate, you know, and get all of these things put together and travel across the country for a month or so. But we are holding a number of them. We've already scheduled five or six of them, I believe. If you'd like to donate, it does cost money to drive to these places, to get the hotel, to have food, to set up the event. If you want to donate or you want to sponsor us, or if you want to schedule an event at your location, simply go to our website at privateofficer.com and click on the link. The memorial is the only one of its type in the U.S., and as far as we know, in the country. And you should be very proud to be able to be part of an organization that has sponsored this since 2005. We're the only organization or association that has a memorial for the more than 100 security officers killed in the line of duty every year. Now, also, this year we've added training events, bike rides, and bullathons. And if you'd like more information, just go to our website at privateofficer.com. It's very important that you get the word out. It's very important that you tell your coworkers. It's very important that you participate. So many times we say that we want to help, we want to do more. But then we don't. I understand that everyone's got their own life, everyone's working, and so on and so forth. But if you want to make a difference, this is your opportunity. This is your chance to make a difference. I would strongly recommend that you tell your coworkers, your employer, the local media. You know, several of our members have gone to the governors of their state, the mayors of their cities, and got proclamations. Maybe you might want to do that. We also have the only officer down response teams in the U.S. Anytime a security officer is injured, anytime a security officer is killed in the line of duty, anytime that a security officer is ill and has a problem, we have people on call 24/7 that will respond to that. In fact, right now, we have three separate incidents happening at this very moment. And our staff, our chapters, our chaplains are all involved in these call-outs, as we call them. And we're taking care of not only our members, but also our non-members. We also have a memorial fund, which we really need for you to donate to on a regular basis. This is the fund that we use to assist these security officers, public safety officers who are injured or killed in the line of duty. And we can only do what our finances allow us to do. We can't do anything more. We'd like to. I wish that we had, you know, several million dollars bankroll just for this particular memorial fund so that we can go out and help more people, but we don't. If you'd like to donate, all that you have to do is go to our website at privateofficer.com, click on the link to sponsor this 2013 Private Officer Memorial.
Be advised, 33, please, and associate with the suspect and the victim.
West. 172, no water warrant.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Brought to you by Private Officer International.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, one in six children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because one in six children in poverty is one too many.
Be advised, 93 is police and associates with the suspect and the victim. West.
All right, you are back live with us here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Good evening, you're on the Private Officer Radio.
Hello?
Yes, good evening, you're on the Private Officer Radio.
Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, how about you?
Very good, Rob Sherwood with IDThisPerson.com.
Good evening, Rob, how are we doing tonight?
Very well, how's the East Coast treating you?
We're doing well, where are you at?
Midwest, Chicago area.
Okay, all right. Well, Rob, I'd like for us to start off a little bit talking about yourself, and then we're going to get into a little bit about the website and how you came up with it and a little bit more. But tell us a little bit about your background. Are you in law enforcement, or how did you decide to do this?
I've worked the last 17 years in law enforcement. Most recently, the last 11 were in the investigations division at an agency I work for in the Chicago suburbs. And as far as the website and the creation of it, there was a couple of different things that kind of spurred it. One was the fact that my wife and I were victims of identity theft several years ago, and I was a little frustrated with the fact that I knew that the law enforcement agency out on the West Coast where the credit card fraud had occurred wasn't able to identify the offender and prosecute anyone. And then just out of my own frustration at work dealing with cases on a regular basis where we would see quality video from retailers throughout the community and we could never put a name with a face.
Right, right. So are you currently in law enforcement?
Yes, full time.
Okay, excellent. This is really kind of a take on the old post office posters back in the old days, and it's very unique. Of course, as we know, technology now allows us to get the information out there much quicker to a much broader
audience.
Audience, and also to get it out there in such a way where there's not only the pictures but the videos, and oftentimes in real time, and also using social media. Lots of agencies are using social media. So let me ask you, the data and the pictures that you get, how do you get those? Are those being sent to you from the agency? Are you getting them from news sources? And just tell you a little bit about us. Private Officer International is a security and law enforcement organization. I'm a law enforcement officer and have been for many years. And also, we have many law enforcement and security personnel, public safety from every possible sector. And, sometimes we also have a news department, by the way, and that's how we came across you, is that we monitor 600 news sites every day. We also get a ton of press releases directly from public information officers, media, and so forth. And kind of hard to keep track of sometimes. So
yes.
I was just curious how you obtained the data and the pictures to be able to place it on the website.
Well, as far as actually obtaining the photos, I wouldn't say that we obtain them. They're uploaded by agencies that are using our service in the 20 or 21 states that are currently active using our website. When we originally created this and launched it 2 years ago, it was just intended for the Chicago area, but we saw an opportunity to take it national. So our web designer actually built it out so that anybody in the U.S. could actually join and post images. The way that it works, and we try to keep it as simple as possible as far as letting law enforcement have access to it and make it easy for them to upload photos. And just so you understand, it's strictly law enforcement. I'm sorry.
So basically, someone can make a profile. An agency can make a profile, like on a social media site, and then upload their material.
Correct. And it's only for law enforcement. And the reason that we selected law enforcement and we haven't opened it up to like loss prevention officers at major retailers is, in order for a prosecution to occur, you're going to have to go through your local law enforcement agency first. So if a crime has occurred and you have an unknown suspect on video, you're going to need to make a report with your local law enforcement agency, provide them with the video, let them go through the video, get a still image, the best quality still image of the suspects or those involved that may or may not have done anything but were a party to it. And those images are then uploaded by the agencies as they sign up to use our service. The process is quite simple. It takes about a minute to fill in a couple of blanks on our form for creating a profile. And you can upload pictures immediately, but they're not made available for the public to see until we authorize that account on the other end. We need to verify it's actually law enforcement. We don't want anybody just randomly creating an account and uploading inappropriate images. We want to know that the quality of the images, not so much the quality, but the security-wise, we just want to make sure there's nothing inappropriate being posted on the website.
Well,
so
you want to make sure
we have a vetting process where we confirm.
You want to make sure that it's legitimate as well, that it's not just somebody posting a picture of someone that they dislike or that they've recently had a confrontation with. Or
ex-girlfriend, or boyfriend, or something. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we verify every account to make sure it's a legitimate law enforcement agency and officer that's actually creating the profile, verify the email address is correct, before that those images that they may have uploaded are available for the public to see. So that's our security check as far as making sure that we're getting quality images and information from the quality sources as far as being law enforcement. As far as video you mentioned earlier, we are not set up for, and it's not something that's in our plans to allow video footage on there. The server space would probably be quite enormous compared to just these photos, which is large enough as it is. Going back to the process, once they create that profile and they upload an image and they're approved within 24 hours typically for us to verify that it's actually law enforcement, those images are then available for the public to see. And then as far as posting the image, the only thing that the law enforcement agency needs is a report number and a photo. There's no reason to explain what the person is suspected of doing. In fact, when you're looking at the photos on the site, you don't even know what city or police agency posted the images. And we did that on purpose because in the grand scheme of things, if you're looking at photos trying to identify somebody, it shouldn't matter to the person that's viewing those photos what crime occurred. And it really doesn't matter where it occurred. As long as they know they're searching a small geographical area that they live in and there's a better chance that they're going to recognize somebody from their area, it's really nobody's business, and not to be rude, but it's just nobody's business what the crime is. We just want to keep it simple. Either you recognize somebody on the site or you don't. And if you do, you simply just fill in some information in a couple of free form fields and you hit the submit button, and it's sent electronically via email to the detective or officer that happened to post that image.
Okay, so you're not really the middleman. It's going to go directly to the PD that's submitted that information.
We are a middleman to a certain extent because in the very
I'm saying on the information that's being filled in by the witness or the person who's ID'd it. So when they fill out that form, it's going to the local PD who's got the want out for that person.
Yes, but we do screen them because in the beginning we were getting a lot of people that were, I shouldn't say a lot, but we were getting some random people that were posting inappropriate comments and, you know, saying that it looked like a politician or celebrity or something like that. And we didn't want the officers that were posting those pictures to get emails that were just spam almost and just people trying to be funny. So we actually filter them now, and we actually review every tip that comes through. And if it appears even remotely legit, we'll just forward it on. But if it's something blatantly obvious that somebody's just trying to be funny, we'll just delete that, and that will not get forwarded on to the detective that posted the picture. We just don't want to waste their time.
Exactly. Now, you said you're posting or you're presently have 25 states, 26 states?
20 or 21 maybe. I'm not for sure without counting them right now.
Mostly in the Midwest or just all over the place?
Midwest
or?
And the Southeast right now. Myself and a buddy I work with in law enforcement, the two of us that created this, you know, we're doing this on our own time, at our own expense, and putting whatever time that we have into it. And, you know, we don't have a marketing background, and we can't afford to hire a marketing company. So we're basically just making cold calls, and we'll select a state, and we'll concentrate on one state for a period of time and contact as many law enforcement agencies as we can. And we're trying out some new things, too, to get the word out that's a little bit easier on us, more bang for our buck, or at least getting more results from the time that we're putting into it.
Now, I noticed that you don't have any marketing ads. You're not really supported by advertising. So obviously, you know, you're not in it for the money at this point. I'm sure that would be nice at some time. But there is
some advertising on the site. We do have Google ads running on the site. The traffic on the site, or I should say the volume of revenue on the site off of the ads is nothing that's going to support us in the short term by far.
Right.
This is supported by my pocket, my buddy's pocket, and it's just something that we're into it. We're behind it 100%. We believe in it. It's worked. It's a proven fact that this is going to work. And the more people that know about it, the more law enforcement agencies that use this, we feel this is going to be a huge deterrent down the road 2, 3, 4 years from now when it's as popular maybe as a, you know, as far as people recognizing the symbol that we have up there as far as our identifier and the website itself and people frequenting the site. We think it'll be a huge deterrent for criminal activity when it comes to people committing crimes in retail stores or businesses where video is present, video surveillance cameras are present. Because if you're an 18 or 19-year-old kid and you're out committing crimes and you see your picture on this website, I think it's going to scare you straight or it's going to scare you in a different direction of criminal activity. Because sooner or later, the right person's going to see your picture on there, provide the information, and you're going to get a knock on the door or a phone call from local law enforcement.
Right. Are there any enticements or inducements to the viewer to make that report? Are they rewarded in any way?
They are, and that was part of the process when we were building out the site and working on, you know, behind the scenes as far as how we want it to function. We want to be able to obviously get people to the site because the only way this site's going to work is if law enforcement participates and posts images and the public actually goes to the site and looks at the images. Without one of those two, this site's a failure. And to get people to go to the site, we decided that we were going to offer a $25 gift card reward to the first person that properly identifies any image in any state at any given time. So
right.
As long as you provide an email address with the tip that you are providing, and the email address is just for us to see if it's not passed on to law enforcement, unless for some reason you choose that option and you're okay with the local law enforcement agency contacting you, only we have that email address. And once law enforcement confirms that the tip that was provided is actually the identity of the image that it was sent in on, they reply back to us that they have a positive identification, and then we send a $25 electronic gift card to the person that provided the tip, assuming that they provided us with an email address. Otherwise, we have no way of getting a hold of them.
Right. Nice. That's a little bit something, you know, for them. Are you working with any other organizations like Crime Stoppers or any of the other local organizations out there that kind of help police to locate wanted suspects?
Yeah, we're not currently working with anyone. We are in talks with FACES, which is a website and software developer that works on sketches.
Yeah.
They're based, I want to say, out of Texas, and we're in talks with them right now as far as doing some campaign with the two of us. But Crime Stoppers, we're almost a little bit of competition for them to a certain extent. I mean, they do things a little bit differently. In some areas of the country, they're web-based. In other areas, they're not. They just send out press releases to local news outlets, and that information gets posted, and you just call in a tip line and provide the information there. And they're obviously offering a lot more money as well. But a lot of the stuff that Crime Stoppers, a lot of the cases that Crime Stoppers reports on are crimes that don't necessarily have video. So
right.
you're just hearing, reading information about a particular crime that occurred, and they're looking for tips, where we are specifically video surveillance images related only. And we do accept sketches as well. So if you had a crime against a person and the victim was able to come up with a good sketch, whether you're using the Faces 4 software or whatever local software that that company might or that the department might have, they can post that sketch on here as well.
Oh, good. Do you have any parameters as to what type of crimes can be included on your website?
None whatsoever. If it's on video, because every jurisdiction, every state, their crimes are just slightly different as far as different types of offenses. You know, larceny in one area is a theft in another, depending on where you are in the country. Misdemeanors and felonies, it really doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of things, if a picture's on there and the statute of limitations on that particular crime, you know, it passes and a positive ID comes through, we'll deal with it at that time. And if we want to, you know, somebody correctly identifies somebody, even if the person can't be charged, it doesn't matter to us. We're just looking for that positive identification. You know, and that's what we're guaranteeing our $25 gift card on, is a positive identification. When somebody provides a tip on an image and that law enforcement agency confirms the identity of the person, we're not asking that that law enforcement agency has charged that person or even interviewed that person. We just want to know if you are 100% confident that you have the right person because of that tip that was provided. Crime Stoppers, typically, at least in our area, because I happen to be on our local Crime Stoppers board here, they're looking for the actual arrest conviction.
Arrest and prosecution and sometimes conviction,
Before that reward is paid out, where we simply pay out the $25 gift card reward if you just get the correct name for the person. That's all we ask for. So even if the statute of limitations is up and you get somebody identified, I mean, myself as a detective, I would rather, even if it's too late to charge that person, at least I've identified my offender, and more than likely they're continuing to offend. And if they don't help me out with this particular case, they're going to help somebody else out down the road.
Well,
so
yeah,
it's,
I was going
to still
say
nice
too,
to know
you
committing
your crime. Statute of limitation has expired on that misdemeanor. At least you've got the guy ID'd, and more than likely he's probably involved in something else anyways. You might be able to solve a different case with the information provided to you, or at least put it in your FI card for, you know, future reference. So it's still a good thing either way.
Absolutely, yes.
One of the things I was going to say about Crime Stoppers, you know, I always thought it was a disservice to the public in some areas that specifically will not release those funds until the person is prosecuted. Well, as a citizen, they're not the prosecutor. They're not law enforcement. They can't guarantee that person is going to be prosecuted or have a guilty plea or conviction be entered against them. So I always thought, you know, this is kind of not really a good situation for that public person who called in the tip and led to the arrest, especially in a major case. But
I'm certainly not going to bash Crime Stoppers. They've been around a long time, and
they definitely
provide a great service to law enforcement. And, you know, we get a lot of tips in our local area that come through Crime Stoppers, and they're a very valuable tool. You know, how they conduct their business and pay out rewards, obviously they're on their own for that. But you know, at least you still have the anonymity when you are providing that information. Whether you get a reward or not, at least nobody's going to come after you knowing that you're the one that snitched on somebody or ratted somebody out.
Exactly. And I wasn't trying to bash them.
I didn't want to go that route myself. You know, like I said, I'm on the board locally, and I have a lot of respect for them. And, you know, down the road, if there's a way that the two of us could work together, that's great. It's not something that we've pursued at this point because we're kind of doing the same thing to a certain extent.
Right, right. Well, I certainly think that this is a great concept. And, you know, you look at other organizations like America's Most Wanted and other TV and Internet-based, you see that, you know, when you can get those pictures out there, when you can get video out there, it really puts the word out to a larger audience, and you're going to get a lot more response and a lot more probability that that case is going to be solved. So, you know, it's a good thing, and I hope that the website works for you.
Well, that's another reason that we did this, and that was part of our thought process behind this, is if you have a crime that occurs on video and you send it to your local news outlets and it's fortunate enough to show up on the 6 o'clock evening news, if the right people aren't watching the news at that split second that image pops up on the screen then goes away, you've lost your audience. And the
exactly.
whole idea is to get these pictures out there to the public. So why not create a location for them to go to at their leisure rather than having to watch the news every night and see these images, and they stay on there until the law enforcement agency that posted the pictures removes them. And that would be at their own discretion, or once somebody's been positively identified, obviously we want that image off. If we're going to send out a $25 gift card reward to somebody, we certainly don't want to have to do that multiple times on the same image. So once we have a positive ID, that image is removed from the site. We had thought about the idea of possibly leaving the image up and then, put a little red circle with a line through it saying identified on there. But then we didn't want that person to have to go to the website and see their picture and see that they've been identified and give them a heads up. So we would rather remove that picture altogether.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a good project, and it seems like it's working, and I wish you a lot of luck. We're going to check in with you maybe 6, 12 months down the road and see how it's going. Certainly,
Absolutely.
If we can help you in any way, we want to be able to do that. We have lots of members, both in law enforcement and security, not only across the U.S., but around the world, because we are an international organization. But now that
we're
have your...
We're not quite set up to go international yet. But we're going to concentrate on the U.S. first, and if there's opportunities down the road, that would be great. And I know you weren't necessarily suggesting that, but I'm just saying, I know your audience is all over the world, and right now we're just concentrating on the U.S. And we can see activity on our site. We know we have visitors from other countries occasionally. For whatever reason, we don't know. We just see the activity based on IP addresses and where people are visiting from. But I appreciate
really,
the opportunity. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know what's really amazing, though, Rob, is that with the Internet, there really is no, boundaries anymore. And we have found that people in other countries have identified people wanted in the U.S., and they've never come to the U.S. only because they've seen their picture cross the Internet somewhere along the way, either through a social media site, Facebook, or something else, and they've spotted this person, and they put two and two together and said, hey, I've seen them before, and they've actually been able to make the identification, even though they're in some other country, and they've never been in the U.S.
That's a perspective I hadn't considered, but that's a valid point, yes. Especially
and the other
that
thing
lived
is, you
in
know,
the country and then moved out.
Yeah, I was going to say, the other thing is that some of the more serious criminals find their ways in other countries, and they're identified by people living there because of information that they've seen on either the Internet or some wanted site, and many crimes are solved by people who have never stepped foot in the U.S.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take a tip from anybody, I'll tell you that right now. We just want to continue to succeed and move forward, and I appreciate the opportunity to discuss the site with you today, and hopefully we can do a lot for law enforcement and deter criminal activity. And the more people that know about this, the better it's going to be and the more successful we'll be. And hopefully we can take a little bite out of crime, if I can steal a phrase from Crime Stoppers or McGruff. I'm not sure who that's from.
McGruff.
McGruff.
Yeah, we've already put the website out on our website and our media, and we'll be glad to support you. And like I said, feel free to stay in touch with us and contact us anytime.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good one.
You as well.
That was Rob Sherwood with IDThisPerson.com. And again, just another very interesting concept or method of identifying wanted criminals. Tonight's show, I forgot to mention, or I should have mentioned, I didn't mention, I should have mentioned. Tonight's show, the title or the theme is wanted persons. And the reason why we're talking about wanted persons is because private security is really the new first responder. And private security is really on the forefront. Private security, which encompasses so many different areas these days, well beyond the guard at the factory, the guard at the office, private security is out there patrolling communities. They're out there in the campus environment, the shopping mall, retail. They're out there driving on patrols. They're responding to calls. Did you know that there are at least 9 different cities or towns that we are aware of that currently have private security on patrol in the town, patrolling the whole town and responding to non-emergency calls? Private security is out there in the public 24/7, getting involved in the same things that law enforcement has gotten involved in for years. And private security makes more than 1.7.5 million arrests, apprehensions, or detentions. About 1.8 million. Whether they have arrest authority or detention or apprehension, they are out there making those stops. That's a lot of people being taken off the street, a lot of criminals being stopped in their tracks by private security, whether it be a loss prevention, campus security, special police officer, private police officer, hospital security, whatever. And because private security is really the new first responder on the forefront and the front line, they're going to come across a lot more wanted suspects. And it's important that we recognize, it's important that we're informed, it's important that we have that information available to us that the person is wanted. Next week, in part 2, we are going to talk about wanted persons, how to get the information necessary, how to get the mugshots, how to get the bolos, be on the lookout, and how to cooperate with local law enforcement so that you can get those wanted posters and information like we used to in the good old days when we used to have a hot list sent out to us. Now you can do it electronically. Police department can send you the list electronically. So next week, we'll be talking about that. That's all we have tonight. Thanks for being with us here on the Private Officer Radio. God bless. Be safe. Until the next time when we see you on the radio. Thank you.